anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, Combatants of the Anything Combat Show. You're tuning in to one of the best fucking MMA analysis shows on the fucking planet. We got Duval Pierre co-hosting this episode. I'm your main host, Johnny K. Who else? It's me. Today, we're fucking breaking down UFC 324. Duval, how are you? How's your training going?
Going good. Got a boxing fight coming up this Saturday. So training hard, training. Everything's going good. Opponents keep putting out. They didn't want to smoke, but I got a new opponent. So he's going to just be in the way. And I'm just going to knock this guy out. So I'm pumped for it.
Duval, your opponents have a good pull-out game.
They do. So do I. But the only thing I would never put out of is fights. Other than that, I'm putting out every goddamn time.
Duval, we need to break down these fights.
Let's go.
Okay, first.
Start from the bottom or we start from the top?
We're starting from the bottom. Okay, so okay. Ricky Turkius, however you say his name, versus Cameron Smotherman. Now, you want to know what I think about this? I really like Ricky and his style, but Cameron has shown over and over again that he's an underrated fighter. You know what I mean? Kind of came out of the woodwork. Let me take a look at his record. He's lost to Ricky Simone. This is a hard one. You know what? I'm going to pick Cameron Smotherman. What are you picking, Duval?
I ain't going to lie, yeah. Ricky Turkius. Pretty sure I said it. Something similar to that. Cameron Smotherman, yeah. I'm going to go with him because he's blacker. I don't really know these guys too much. Ricky's pretty good. Cameron Smotherman. How many fights have you got in UFC? Not as many.
He's had a couple. You know what? Ricky has shown, you know, I think he won the Ultimate Fighter. You know, it's pretty good. That's a Mexican versus a black person. And as you said, you know, and guess what? Norm McDonald used to say, and he was a betting man, he used to say, always pick the bigger, blacker fighter. So Cameron Smotherman's up here. Moving on to Michael Johnson versus Alexander Hernandez. We saw Hernandez get kicked the shit out of by Cowboy Cerrone. And we also saw Hernandez butcher Benil Dariush in a minute. So, you know, I really like him. He's had kind of a new revival to his career as of late. But, you know, let me just open his record up.
What was that last fight he fought against? And it was so boring the whole fight. He was just dancing around. He's fought smart, but he fought completely different. He was just dancing the whole time when he darted in and he got a KO.
It was probably Austin Hubbard and Kurt Holabar. He had decisions, but then recently, as of late, he's on a 4-fight win streak in the lightweight division. He's now KO'd Chase Hooper and he's KO'd my guy who I really like. Diego Ferreira, really underrated.
That was the fight. He was like, just he was being smart. He was just staying on the outside, basically running away from him a little bit. But he just popped him with a straight one. And yeah, fair play. That was good. With Michael Johnson, yeah, is you just never know. Like there is no look at the odds, look at this, look at that. It's just he's just going off of pure vibes and whether he's gonna win or not. And Hernandez. I don't know. What's the odds on that?
Since the beginning, I saw Michael Johnson, you know, come up. He rocked Kamaru Usman in training. He always spoke about how Michael's one of the fastest fighters that he's ever fought. You know, on the card, Justin Gaethje's there. You saw that fight of the year with Justin Gaethje and Michael Johnson. Michael can put you out whenever, wherever. He's got one of the most underrated resumes out of any fighter in UFC. He's beaten Tony Ferguson. He's beaten Dustin Poirier by KO. Who else has he beaten off the top of my head? He's beaten Edson Barboza. He's beaten a lot of people, dude. Let me click on his record. Get my fucking information straight. Yeah, how's that? He beat Daniel Zellhuber, who's supposed to be good.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He's been Otman Azaita, who's all right. Mark Jacasey, he's good.
It's pretty good.
He's been Gleison Tibau, Joe Lozon, Melvin Gallard.
Right, he beat Artem Lobov. Damn.
So, in my opinion, I reckon my prediction for this fight is if Alex Hernandez wants a car crash, he can dart in there. He can try and take him out, but he's got to be prepared to fucking get hit by another car speeding over 100 kilometers. Michael Johnson, right hand. He's going to fucking put Alex Hernandez out cold. Knockout.
I predict Hernandez is going to fight similar to how he did against Faea. And because I think he's going to be cautious of that black power coming back. You know what I mean? And it's going to be kind of boring. He's going to dart in, tag him with a couple shots. But I think eventually Michael Johnson will hit him with something and put him out cold as well.
Bro, I'm looking at this right now. You reckon out of the two, who do you think's faster? I think Michael Johnson beats him to the punch, even though he's an older guy.
He's old, 39 years old. That is old.
He's fast as fuck.
He's still pretty fast. He's explosive as fuck still. Alex Hernandez, he's good on his, like, he's fast with his feet. He's got really good movement and whatnot. But I think there's only so long you can be quick on the feet. I think eventually you're going to get tagged with a hard left and get put out. That's my prediction. I don't like Hernandez as well for some reason. I don't not like him, but it's just his fight style. Like, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but Michael Johnson, again, he's blacker, so I'm going to...
That's it. This is every fight breakdown we do. We just pick a black guy. And if it's against some white guy and there's some sort of South American, we pick the Mexican. Doesn't matter if he's Argentinian, Venezuelan, Ecuadorian. He's Mexican. We pick him.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
All right. Natalia Silva versus Rose Number Nunez. I'm not even breaking this down. Next one.
I'll just say that Silva's going to win. Rose, like... No, I'm going to go for Silva to win by, I'm going to go for submission.
You heard it from Duval. Next one, Josh Hockett versus Denzel Freeman. Bro, who the fuck are these guys? Are they debuting?
Are they the bigger guys? Are they like heavyweights? One sec.
Yeah, bro, they are. I'm checking their records.
Yeah, there's two blobs. Denzel Freeman, again, he's just blacker. It's just...
Nah, bro, I'm picking Josh because he looks like a fucking athlete, bro. And he looks like he's fucking spent time in prison.
Yeah, Denzel Freeman, 7-1.
Yeah, bro, I'm picking Josh Hockett. I'm looking at him, Jackson Wink, MMA. He's already undefeated in LFA, undefeated in Bellator, undefeated in the Contender Series, and now he's already got a UFC win, which he won by knockout in under a minute.
Yeah, Josh Hockett, yeah, I see what you're saying. He does look like he's been to prison, and 7-0, and he was champion at LFA.
He was champ there. Okay, I didn't see that. Josh, next match up the card. Alex Perez versus Inner G, fucking original gangster, Charles Johnson. Let me tell you about Charles Johnson. So, Charles Johnson beat Lona Kavanagh, you know, UK guy Duval, right?
Yeah.
We've seen
him. Yeah, I've seen that fight.
We've seen him. Lona's a gun. He's going to be something huge, right? He's going to fight for titles. So, for Charles Johnson to catch him early in his career and put him out, like, he beat him to the point where, you know, Lona will eventually get there. But now he got him early into his career. So Charles, it goes to show you that he's high enough quality to beat that caliber of fighter. So Charles Johnson.
He also fluked the win against Joshua Van.
I did see.
I'm going to just say fluked the win because Joshua Van's the guy. You know what I mean? But that was like a little bit early on in his career. But still, to beat Joshua Van's pretty mad.
So, you know, Alex Perez, I saw him lose to Davison Figueiredo by submission in under a minute. Yep. So from what I'm seeing right now, you know, he's losing to good guys like Pantoja, Muhammad Makhayev, Tatsuru Taira, Asor Mabayev. All these dudes, they're all top level. I reckon Inner G's got this one. I reckon Inner G, the way I've been seeing him fight, the caliber of dudes that he's taking on, as well as how fast he is and game. He's high fight IQ, man. I don't care that you said he fluked that win. He's got these underrated wins. He's fought tough competition. He's coming into his prime. He's 34. I'm picking Inner G to outbox him.
34. I wouldn't really see us coming into a prime at flyweight.
Bro, he's had a kind of dude. He was an Olympian. He was running track and running in the Olympics. He didn't have time to fucking fight MMA. Now he's here, man. He's quick. He'll sprint at him and fucking sit him down.
Yeah, he is athletic as hell. And against Luna Kavanaugh, he looked good. And that's the only fight I've seen. But from that, I heard a little bit of hype about him. And I watched him beat him up. And I thought, damn, this guy's good. So I'm going to go for Charles Johnson, Charlie G.
And the only loss he has here is before he fought Lona. He already beat Joshua Van, current champ. He lost to Ramazan Tamirov. Shout out Ramazan Tamirov from Uzbekistan. Watch out for him. Scariest fucking guy in the division. Next level punching. Check out Ramazan Tamirov. So our pick, Charles Johnson to beat Alex Perez. You know what? I can see Alex trying to grapple with him. I think Alex has taken too much damage. He's kind of washed right now in the division, and he's too old to take on somebody so athletic and quick as Charles Johnson. I'm going to say first or second round knockout.
Yeah, second round TKO. What's the next one? Teber Gutierrez.
The next fight, to answer your question, is somebody who you do not want to fucking get hit by at all.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy.
Yeah, Pudiev, bruv, just for taking the fight, I can't believe that. Like, to take a fight against Teber Gutierrez, unless you're like literally one of the top guys, if you're taking a fight against this guy, yeah, either the UFC are paying you more money because they're like, hey, you're a sacrificial lamb, or you have an insane amount of delusion. Bro, Teber Gutierrez is going to kill him first round knockout.
How do you know that Andre might just take him down single leg, double leg, hold him there and have a boring slugfest, hold him down there and submit him or some shit?
I think unless you're a super high level wrestler, he might be, I don't know, mistake me if I'm wrong, unless you're a super high level wrestler, I think Teber is way too big, way too athletic. He trains at a good team. Like, his wrestling, he's had a few fights in the UFC now, so I'm sure he's got some good technical abilities as well as the fact that he's just obviously, from what we've seen, just knocking dudes out. Nah, bro, his first round knockout, I reckon, like, within a minute.
Bro, I'm looking at his Pulev's record right now, and he's in the UFC losing to Christian Leroy Duncan.
Oh, I don't compare it to him, actually. Someone said I fight just like him, which was pretty cool.
Well, if they're saying that, you're in some big trouble, Duval. You're fucked.
Why? Well, hey, he has a cool style.
Nah, I'm being an asshole. if you keep on feinting that takedown and throwing the uppercuts out and being fucking TJ Dillashaw, but like Brown, fuck, that's good. So, Andre Pulev versus Teber Gutierrez. You know what, Duval? I agree with you. First round destruction. Teber Gutierrez by knockout. Out cold.
Absolute murder.
Fucking murder. Put money on that. You know what? Everybody.
I don't bet. I'm not a bet, man. But and you know, I wouldn't even put money on that because the odds. I don't know what the odds are. I don't know if it says, but the odds will just be so heavy in favor of Gutierrez that.
Put that in the multi-bet, bro. KO, Teber.
Yeah, chuck it in there.
This is one of the best breakdowns ever. Most knowledgeable, most analytical, pragmatic, and objective breakdowns I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know what pragmatic means, but now we're getting on to the fights, but I know all of the fighters, so... Let's fucking go.
We were kind of talking shit, but now we're here. You ready?
I haven't had time. I've been busy fighting. I've got loads of shit going on, so I don't have time to like look up.
To be honest, bro,
I'm not. You know, I didn't have time to look up who the hell is flipping Josh Hockett.
Yeah,
like bro, come on.
To be honest, how I see it is, if I see a couple of your fights, if I'm there and I see your fights, like, I'll get that information. But now, dude, like, the fact that I have to do so much research and watch fights back a million times over, like, fuck, it does my head in. I can't be stuffed.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. Umar Nurmagomedov versus Davison Figueiredo. Hey, do you think if Umar beats Davison here, that he will get a title shot?
I believe, this is what I believe. The UFC are going to, if Sean O'Malley beats Yodong, which I think he more than likely is, they're going to give Sean O'Malley a rematch with Pierre Yan. Is that the right thing to do? No. Obviously, Umar would deserve it more if he wins his fight. But the UFC is the UFC. The UFC do some crazy shit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it recently with Diego Lopez getting the shot and this and that. They're going to give Sean O'Malley the title shot against Yan, which, to be fair, is going to be literally one of the biggest fights they could possibly make. However, if they don't do that and they give Umar the shot, if he beats Figueiredo, Umar versus Pierre Yan possibly might be the most highly skilled matchup in the history of the UFC.
I tend to agree. And if you were tuning into the Anything Combat podcast, the other week we were talking about Umar versus Piotr and the stylistic breakdown between the two. And, you know, I don't see a scenario where Davidson's going to beat Umar. Like, Davidson's really elite. He can beat a lot of the contenders. He can't beat someone like Umar, bro.
I would say Umar is a little bit chinning. Yeah, I don't think he's been flatline put out, but he's been, in his last fight, he got dropped bad, right? He got dropped pretty bad. And then early in his career, he also got dropped real bad. So I think the only chance, it's a bit of a puncher's chance, but Davidson could just knock him out. But I think that Umar was a little bit annoyed at the last fight because he couldn't just completely dominate Bautista on the ground, which, you know, Bautista had some good scrambles, but he was saying, oh, I wish I could do what, like, Khabib said could do,
but
there's something along the lines of that. I think
the style, you're right, I'm listening to what you're saying. Umar, he got dropped by Mario Bautista with the knee right coming up, right?
And
Beksat Almakan, who has crazy fucking heat from Kazakhstan in his hands, kind of wobbled Umar as well. So I get what you're saying, not to mention Marab Dvalishvili, who doesn't really hit that hard, wobbled him on the feet. So I think if Davidson's gonna hurt him, I think he's going to get him with a big punch. I just think that Umar's too quick in his positioning, especially when he does the jab cross jab, when he finishes with the jab. I like that type of positioning with Umar. If he knows what he's doing, he's going to stick to that and kind of move around and shoot takedowns at the right period of time when Davidson rushes in. But Davidson, the only way to get him is to hit him with a massive overhand. I don't see it happening.
It'll be a little bit of a fluke. It'll be a little bit of a fluke, to be honest. I think Umar's got really good kicks. He's going to stay, like you said, stay long, use his range. And then when he gets in close, he's going to look for takedowns. Which Figueiredo has good jiu-jitsu and scrambles and stuff. But Umar, brother, there's a different level, you know. But I don't think he's going to finish him. I'm going to go for a 3-round 30-27 to Umar.
Yeah. That sounds about right, especially coming off the two fights that he's had with Marab and Mario. I don't reckon Umar has kind of acclimated to being healthy again after those fights. Both fights were kind of very difficult for him. So and he kind of squeezed through the Mario fight and you know, I don't reckon Mario's on that level of the elite competition.
So, what, you think that Mario beats Davidson Figueiredo?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I think Mario's really good. So Umar beat him 30-27.
I just think that, like, guys like Piotr, guys like Marab Dvalishvili, Umar, I don't think Mario can beat guys like that. And he lost to Corey Sandhagen already. But Davidson's a former champion. He's vetted. He's got a lot of belts. He's beaten a lot of good people. So I reckon there's good test, but I've seen too many people at bantamweight now beat Figueiredo, including Piotr and was it Corey Sandhagen that beat Davidson as well?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Figueiredo kept going for the leg. He fought so stupid that fight. He literally was just like, it was almost as if he put a bet on he was going to win by leg lock, the way he was just diving, going for the legs the whole time, just getting his face smashed. And then he popped his knee, I think, and that's how he lost. But
and did you see how Davison recently bounced back with a win against Montel Jackson, and that was a split decision? So the quality of contendership that he's fighting with Montel, that's just not the same level. How are you getting a split decision against Montel Jackson, who won't make that top five, and then try and fight Umar? That's like a massive jump.
Yeah, bro's old, bro's washed. But shout out to Davison Figueiredo, though.
Why the fuck would they put Umar on the prelim, bro?
That's crazy. Who's on the main card instead of him?
Kayla Harris, Amanda Nunes, and Waldo Costa versus Derek Lewis.
You know what? They should swap Waldo and Derek Lewis, but I kind of get what they're doing. What they're trying to hype up the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division is dead. If he can get a win over Derek Lewis, he's actually a pretty big star. So I think that's kind of the reason behind it. But however, that is crazy. But that's how good the card is, that Umar and Figueiredo is on the prelims. That's wild.
Umar's camp, out of everybody in Umar's camp, I would say I'm really interested in Zykunov, or whatever his name is, right? Magomed Zykunov. Have you...
Oh, you mean John Pork, right? John Pork, Chanko. Yeah, Chanko. So I watched his fight the other day, actually. It was a war. Was it the Contender Series fight?
Yeah, it was mad. He landed like 200-something strikes.
Yeah, that was an insane fight. To be fair, he's, you know, having a war with the Contender Series guys. So it was like, how good is he? However, just based on the eye test of how good he is and the shots that he was hitting the other guy with, and, you know, just didn't get put out. I haven't seen a lot of him, but yeah, his striking is pretty sick.
How I see it is, if Magomed is training with Makhachev and improving his striking, like we saw with the JDM fight, if he's training and if Umar's getting in rounds with Magomed Zykunov, I reckon that Umar's striking is just going to increase, because that's exactly what I saw with Islam. If that's the case with Umar, then I reckon his striking for this fight with David Figueiredo is going to be so much better. If that's the case, then Umar by decision.
Yeah, 30-27 for sure.
Next match, Nikita Krylov from Ukraina versus Modestus Bukauskas. Bukaki. So we got Bukaki on the...
Yeah, man. What'd you say?
So, you know what, man? I've looked at Modestus Bukauskas. I've looked at his style. I just think he's a little bit clunky on the feet, if you ask me. I think Nikita's a little bit awkward as well, but I think Nikita has too many skills in the grappling. I don't reckon Modestus can grapple with Nikita.
I've watched both these guys fight multiple times. I don't remember a whole lot.
Because Modestus most definitely has a boring style. And the only fights that you've seen of Nikita Krylov is when he's losing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Nikita is still good, even though that's what you've seen. Nikita is still good. He's better than Modestus. Modestus, they're going to have a nice striking match, but I think where Nikita's going to take this out is going to sub him. You know, Nikita...
All right, the Krylov lost to Reyes, right?
Yeah. And you know, Nikita Krylov, he had like 18 fights in the first year of his MMA career. He won every single one of them. So he must have just beaten can after can after can. But guess what? Hick up by you about how you've watched all their fights, but you can't remember anything about them, because that's how memorable he is. And I tend to agree with you. I felt the same way after watching his fucking performance. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean, because like, these guys could fuck me up, but like, they're kind of NPCs.
Listen to this, Duval. His career, in the first year of his MMA career, he went 12-1. And the guy that he lost to had a 0-0 record. Everyone else that he beat was 0-0, 0-4, 0-0, 0-0, 0-3, 0-0, 0-1, 0-0, 5-6. 1-6, 1-3, 0-0, and the guy lost to was 0-0.
Bro, how do I speak to this guy's manager?
Bro, let's put you in with these types of guys and just get you a 20-0 record to begin with and change your name to Duval Magomedov. And then,
I low key, that's what Khabib did.
Yeah,
was it bad at this? Was it bad at this?
I don't judge anyone for doing that because you need to feel the finishing instinct. I spoke about this on the show. Go look at the fucking most recent.
I seen a bit of it.
It's about the finishing instinct. If you don't have finishing capabilities, get the fuck out of the sport.
Yeah, and I was actually speaking about this to somebody, and like what I genuinely believe that some fighters, some they don't really want to, they don't really truly want to hurt their opponent. You know what I mean? And Anthony Joshua was talking about it. He's like, wait, when I'm in the ring, like I'm prepared to kill. Like obviously you didn't want to, whatever. But like what Joshua did to Francis Ngannou, you can tell like when you're in that ring, he was trying to completely finish. And when I'm in there, I am literally trying to hurt them as badly as I physically possibly can. And I think some fighters don't quite really have that. And if you don't have that at all, those are the guys that just can't make it in fighting.
See, you know where I find a hard Duval? About training. You know what I mean? You want to fucking turn that on, but in training, you don't want to fucking injure your training partners.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why you need to fight. Have you had many fights? No. Bro, let me tell you about my first ever fight. Yeah, it was in Mexico. I took this guy down and I had him flattened out and I was punching his head and his head literally bounced off that canvas, mate. You know what I'm saying? Bounced his head off a canvas. And it was the first time in my entire life I've been able to fully 100% with hand wraps and a glove just punch someone. And it was at that moment I knew I need to do this for a living. It was so good, bro.
So we're picking Nikita Krylov to beat Modestus Bukauskas by submission.
Yeah, I'm going for, didn't Modestus, is he the one that he got his knee stomped?
Yeah, by Khalil.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bukaki based on the story, you know what I mean? I think that's pretty cool, so I'm going for Bukaki.
We got another Englishman, just like yourself. We got another Moore. Okay. Arnold Allen, very underrated fighter, versus
Gene
Silva, who, guess what? With everything being said, still an underrated fighter. Very fucking talented, Gene Silva. Both of these guys are very skillful.
You think Gene Silva's underrated?
Well, Gene can do jits. He's got a very good sub game, which people don't talk about. We all know his striking is very good. He's got a good strike differential and versatility with it. He picks a lot of different angles, a lot of different strike setups. He's very powerful, and I've seen him wrestle. So if he's got all of those skills, and you know people are calling him off, saying, "Oh, you know, he lost to Diego Lopez," this guy can come back, bro.
And he was winning that fight as well. Like, to be honest, he should have won the Diego Lopez fight, but he was fighting stupid. He was fighting like Diego Lopez doesn't have power in his hands. And he was like rushing in too much, being too aggressive. And I don't know if Gene Silva is the type of guy to learn from his mistakes. I think he's a wild guy. But if he loses, I think he's going to be winning the fight and then get clipped in the same way that he lost. But in my opinion, Allen's good. He's well-rounded, strong as hell. Like, he's English as well, which just makes him better. But I think that Gene Silva's going to win. And by second round TKO.
I think third round TKO. I think he'll survive a little bit longer and he'll drag him out. I think Arnold will do really well in the pitter-patter kind of striking, but then when Gene starts getting going and starts landing shots and Arnold starts slowing down, I think that process is going to take a little bit longer, and Gene will probably KO him in the third round. One thing I want to say about Gene Silva is
What do you think about this Duvall? I think Gene is one of the most creative fighters on the roster in terms of all the different types of, you know, ground and pound and all the different strikes that he goes for. He goes for so many different creative options that other fighters don't think of.
You know what, yeah? I was chatting to my friend about this the other day, and he hasn't had that many fights, and he was saying, like, when he fights, he has fight IQ, but he just can't use it because he's so, like, stressed, and, you know, there's the fight, and his head's, like, all crazy. And I was saying, like, how I'm getting quite calm, and I'm able to, like, really think about what I'm doing and stuff. Gene Silva is almost too relaxed, right? But, like, he's super relaxed, which typically is a good thing. And in order to be in flow state where you're able to do the things you do in training and to think of all the moves in the moment when you're in a fight, that is mostly like your ability to stay calm in there. And I think that's one thing that his mind's a bit crazy, but I think it helps him be really calm in the fight.
I tend to agree with you. Arnold Allen's a really tough competitor. He went on a 10-fight win streak, but... And also, in my opinion, he got robbed against Movsar Evloev. Let's not be mistaken.
Yeah.
Arnold Allen is good enough to beat 19-0 Movsar Evloev, and he got robbed in that split decision. I reckon Gene Silva, in terms of his skill level, you know, we're looking right now, if Arnold's being robbed, we're looking at a 20-2 fighter. I reckon Gene Silva has the capabilities and the style to put the damage on Arnold Allen and to beat him in a three rounder, probably KO him in the third. What do you think about Gene Silva if he were to fight someone like Movsar Duvall? What do you think about that? Do you think he can grapple with someone like that?
I don't think I've seen enough of Gene Silva's wrestling. What's the best wrestler? Because he went up against Bryce, but Bryce is an okay wrestler, but he's not that good.
And what did he do to Bryce? He put him in a Linda choke and he just fucking put him out.
That was crazy. But I'm just saying, I haven't seen enough. Like, for example, what's his teammate? Fucking Rufus.
Mauricio Rufi.
Yeah, Rufi. He's on the come up, he faced some decent wrestlers. But in his last fight against Benoit Saint-Denis. Benoit's a sick wrestler, straight up. So he just kind of dominated him in that aspect. So I haven't seen enough of Silva's wrestling, to be honest. And Movsar is going to wrestle fuck him. I don't think they can dominate him, but I don't think he's going to spend any time trying to strike with him. The whole time he's just going to try and grapple.
Do you reckon Arnold Allen will try and grapple Gene?
I think he'd be smart 100%.
See, I just
stand on the feet.
These are Gene's counter wrestling. I think that would be a dumb idea to do that because he'll shoot in on him and Gene will get the clinch on him.
Yeah, well, I think standing with Gene Silva for 15 minutes is even dumber. At least have the threat to take down. At least have the threat because that will lower some of the creativity.
We're moving on to the next fight.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Waldo Cortez Acosta versus Derek Lewis. I'm going to put it out there right now on the show. What Waldo did against big Sergey Pavlovich, that big Russian, Waldo was pointing down to the ground like he wanted to fucking swing it out like Max Holloway. Waldo was never going to do that with Sergey Pavlovich. I reckon Waldo is a boring fighter. He can make light heavyweight. I don't reckon both of these guys are both middleweights, light heavyweights. These dudes just eat too much and they're lazy and they just get fat, right? Someone like a Sergey Pavlovich is lean, diced at heavyweight. These two, they're just fat.
Yeah, Derek Lewis straight up is just fat. He can't be bothered. Like, his diet is crazy. It's wild. But that's what makes Derek Lewis Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is the worst successful fighter in the world. You know what I mean? Like, you could be quicker than him, better fight IQ, better grappling, better strategy, and Derek Lewis is just going to knock you out in the second round. Like, it's just how it is. But,
Fucker, bro, I'm picking Derek Lewis by KO.
Oh, damn, boy. I'm gonna go for he's an underdog too. Like I can't remember the odds, but the odds are pretty big in favor of Cortez. But I get what you're saying. But Derek Lewis is so old. Like, I swear eventually he's gonna be too old. Damn, how do you even pick a Derek Lewis fight? You know what? I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna look at how his fight's been going. So I swear, once he's been losing or lost, he's going to win the next one. That's how he's on a 3-fight win streak. So I think he's due a loss. No, he's on a 1, 2, 3, 4. He's on a 4-fight win streak. So I think he's due a loss.
Who? Who are you talking about there?
Lewis. Derek Lewis.
Nah, he's on a 2-fight win streak. He just beat Rodrigo Nascimento and Tyson Teixeira.
Oh, shit. Sorry. There are two black guys. And
bro, how about those wins? Rodrigo was 11-1 and Tyson Teixeira was 8-0. Bro, Wilder Cortez does not have a fucking chance against big rig fucking Derek Lewis. Especially with the way he's been punching and the way he leaves his chin out there. His defense is sloppy. Derek's clipping him.
I actually agree.
This is why you tune into the Anything Combat podcast.
That's what's up.
All right, now we get to actually talk about shit that we want to talk about. Sean O'Malley versus Song Yadong. What a fight, Duvoss.
Ha!
That's a sick fight.
Fucking sick fight.
You know, me, I'm a massive fan of Song Yadong. Like, from everything that I've seen, his boxing's good. He can wrestle. His jiu-jitsu's looking good. He's incorporated no-gi judo with Justin Flores, who's a black belt in judo and jiu-jitsu and an NCAA wrestler, D1. Song Yadong, bro, he was already fucking elite at striking. So what did he do? He started plugging in all the grappling. And from everything that I've watched, his loss against Corey Sandhagen was called early because of a cut.
He would have won that fight. I swear he would have won that fight. And for him to do that well when he basically couldn't see, like, let's face it, his eyes are already, like, kind of shut anyway, and there's just like blood dripping down his face. I thought he was winning the fight and would have won the fight against Corey.
And you know how good Corey Sandhagen is, dude.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Song Yadong. He's sick. And yeah, his coach, that Luis Flores guy, I got told about him the other day. He's legit. He's like a black belt and everything.
He, Justin Flores, trained Ronda Rousey for and Paddy Pimblett. For judo, for MMA.
Damn. Yeah. That's it. Did you say Paddy Pimblett?
Yeah, he recently worked with Paddy Pimblett to teach him judo for MMA.
That's good, yeah. Paddy's got some sick judo for MMA, to be fair.
But why I'm telling you that is because Song Yadong, from what I've seen, he can fuck wrestle. He can wrestle. Did you see the sprawls that he was doing with Piotr Jan, the current champion, a couple years ago when Song Yadong was only fucking 26 with blonde hair?
Yeah.
Piotr
Jan's a sick wrestler too.
He's the youngest one. The reason I'm telling you this, Song Yadong is the youngest one out of everybody in that division. You know, Sean's older, Piotr's older. Corey, Song Yadong is the youngest one and he's had the most amount of fights in the UFC. Explain that one to me.
What age did he get into the UFC at? Because he's got 8 losses on his record. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but I don't really look into that. The guy's 28. He's had an 11-3-1 record in the UFC.
Now, what I'm saying is he's had that many losses and he's that good. It's like his career was managed poorly. You look at was it Krylov, who was just beating absolute plans to get his record padded? Yadong is like the opposite of that, where he was throwing in against guys too good, too early type of thing. I agree with you. I think he's sick. And I'm actually worried for Sean O'Malley. I think, to be honest, yeah, obviously Yadong's got amazing power. He can get on the inside, throw some hooks or whatever. Sean O'Malley's got a pretty decent chin from what we've seen, but he doesn't get clipped that often. But I would say your dong, especially with who he's working with, might be trying to really go hard on the wrestling approach to try and win this fight. And if you can get Sean even just worried about the takedown like he was against Marab, it makes it a lot easier. So, damn, it's a close fight.
Bro, listen to this. Song Yudong, you're talking about mismanaging his career. When he's 4-0, Song, he's taking on an 11-2 fighter, right? Then at 5-1, he's taking on a 5-10 fighter, and he disqualified himself, and Song disqualified himself via groin kicks. He kicked the guy in the groin, right? So then he's 7-2 now, and he's taking on Alexei Polpudikinov at 21-4. And then he's fighting all that shit. He enters the UFC in 2017, Duval.
Bro, Song Yudong was like, blada, I don't care, I smash everybody, blada.
Bro, 2017, Song Yudong's in the UFC. It's 2025, Duval.
Is he 18? He's either 18 or 19, right?
Some shit like that. He's fucking talented, bro.
You trying to say my boy Sean O'Malley's going to lose? That's what I'm smelling.
Hear me out here. UFC, he's got a record 11-3-1 in the UFC, Song Yudong, since he started.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
One of those losses is Corey with the eye, and you just said that he would have won that fight. And the other one is against Piotr Jan, which was a really fucking close fight. And Piotr went on a crazy streak, a rejuvenation. He went to another level, and we just saw him end the 14-0 streak of Marab Dvalishvili to regain the championship, putting him in the contendership of being the best bantamweight fighter of all time, up there with TJ and Dominic Cruz. So Piotr Jan having a hard fucking really difficult match with Song Yudong when Song is only 26. Song's going into his prime now at 28, rounding out his game and developing more skills, and he's the youngest one there, and he's the most powerful puncher in the division.
Is he?
Out of everybody in the division, who can punch harder than Song Yudong?
Okay, in terms of who punches harder, Yudong punches harder than Sean O'Malley. But Sean O'Malley, I think, is a lot more likely to KO you. Because it's about that snap, that McGregor 145, that snap. Ow, I'm on the chin. You know what I mean?
If I'll tell you this right now. The way Sean O'Malley strikes, he can hurt Song and put him out, and Song can do the same to him. But what's more likely, I reckon Song Yudong can throw a massive overhand to a taller opponent, staying under the punches and slipping under that length. And when Song and Sean get into a scrappy fight, which every fucking Song Yudong fight is a war, right? He will throw combination punches and throw an overhand over the top. He will fucking drop him.
All right, you're going for that. I can see your point. I see what you're saying. I reckon that Sean O'Malley is just going to be too good at keeping Yudong at range. And Yudong's going to find it difficult to get those shots off. He'll get frustrated whilst getting his calf just beaten up. And he might get a couple of takedowns, a little bit of success, but he can't get a finish. And Sean O'Malley wins the fight by 5 seconds in flying the Jorge Masvidal style. Mad jokes. All right. I'm going to go for 29-28. I think it's going to be a great scrap. I'm going to go for that. But I think Yudong will get dropped, but he won't get finished.
I'm going to go with... one thing you haven't even thought about is, you know, Sean O'Malley can be taken down. We've seen him get double-legged by a lot of different people. One thing you're not focusing on is the fact that Song Yudong's improved his wrestling. How do you...
I said he'll take him down to get some success, but he won't, like, do enough to, like, win the fights.
Valid. Song Yudong, my pick is I'm going to pick Song Yudong by decision. Sean is not washed. Sean's at the top of his fucking game. Sean's really fucking good. I think Song Yadong is just a step better. He wants it more. He needs the championship. Sean O'Malley's already gotten the championship. Song Yadong is making his case to get that belt. I reckon this is the closest person we have to a Chinese champion in the Asia-Pacific region. First Chinese male champion.
One more prediction. If Sean O'Malley does lose, I believe that he will go up to 145 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, because if he stays at 135, it's just like... It's, you know what I mean? But if it's 145, there's a new narrative. He can put on some weight, put on some muscle. You know what I'm saying? It can like rejuvenate his career. Because at 135, he's pretty... If he loses this, then he's pretty done.
And I didn't like seeing Sean O'Malley versus Merab number two. That fight, Sugars, Merab kind of just steamrolled him. And I think it was right place, right time for Merab. You know, he made his wrestling much better. His grappling was much better. Sean just couldn't contest with it. And I think he's going to have an even harder time striking with a shorter man in Song Yadong than he would have with someone like a Merab.
No.
All right. Co-main event. Fuck, I'm tired, bro. It's 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. in Australia. Can you tell I'm exhausted?
Nah, you got energy. Damn, look at that. Straight up or two.
I'm charging up. Okay. Kayla Harrison versus Amanda Nunes. I don't know too much about this. I reckon Kayla Harrison's going to beat Amanda Nunes by using grappling. I think Amanda Nunes has taken too much time off.
Yeah. Kayla Harrison's just got more man in her.
She's a man.
Yeah, one man's fighting is mostly just how much of a man. But Amanda Nunes, a man, duh. She does even have man, duh, in her name.
You know what? Let me look if this is the right thing. One thing I'll tell you, and everybody listening in this show should know, is the sport that I think is the most underrated out of all the martial arts is judo, right? Fucking Khabib and Khabib's dad said if they were to get Khabib into martial arts once again, if they had to repeat this, they would put him into judo immediately. Judo is next level. She is a gold medalist 2012, 2016 for the Olympic Games. She got both of those gold medals for judo. She's a world champ 2010, Pan American champ 2011, 2016. All gold medals, every single one. Kayla Harrison is a fucking serious judoka. I put judokas at the top of the sport because every fucking judoka, bro, don't make that face, Duval. Every judoka, Merab, Khabib.
Yeah, no, but no. Khabib, Merab, all these guys, they did judo, but they also did a lot of sambo and they did other stuff. So is it cause of the judo?
I'll tell you why, and you'll understand it now. So they shoot the double leg, that's the freestyle, right? They clinch up all the Greco trips, all that shit. If you look at the hand positioning, everything they're doing, all of it, the reason that they're finally getting the takedown, everybody stuffs the double leg. They stuff the body lock, they stuff the double under. Right, they're working. They've worked this whole thing. But why, out of all these fighters, everybody turns and goes back to the striking in the middle of the cage? The reason that they can't do it against John Jones, can't do it against GSP, can't do it against Makhachev, Merab, and Khabib is because they're fucking using judo. That's where it's at.
I mean, there's a lot of trips and chain wrestling that isn't judo.
That's what I'm talking about. The foot sweeps, especially.
Yeah, but like, is that necessarily judo? But I get what you're saying. Judo is cool. I want to do more judo stuff. But a lot of that stuff you learn in sambo, even some of the stuff you learn in wrestling. But I think because we're looking at a judo purist, right, in Kane Harrison, she literally uses judo in like pretty much all of her fights. I believe that Amanda Nunes will piece her up similarly to how she pieced up Cyborg. I think she's going to be so slow. I think she's going to get clipped by that Amanda power. And I don't think she's going to be able to get in on her. And if she does, she might get some success, but she's more likely not going to finish her. And then once she's down the feet, I think the difference in the power and the speed and the coordination, to be honest, is going to be crazy. And Amanda's going to knock her out in the second round.
Shit. Ladies and gentlemen, are
the
you
free is back.
Hearing this? Shit. What an animal. Duval Pierre, tune in. Do not fucking miss Duval's fights.
Yeah, don't. This Saturday, I'm getting a KO, baby. I'm getting a goddamn KO. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
What nationality is the fighter that you're fighting?
I think he's English. I had another guy who was a 6-3 amateur boxer, and apparently he was being fishy, just like asking loads of questions to the guy.
He's gay.
He's just being gay. I mean, he was like, oh, my neck hurt. It's like, that's okay.
The main event.
Main event.
UFC. You gotta fight somebody, Conor McGregor. You gotta fight me. Michael Chandler adopting black children. Motherfucker. UFC 3-2-4. Gotta come back, fight somebody. Justin Gaethje, brain damage himself versus Paddy Pimblett. Dallas.
Bro, have you seen the odds on this fight?
Don't tell me just yet. I'm going to tell you right now. I bet you Paddy Pimblett's a massive favorite.
Bro, how do you see the odds? I think he's a 2-1.
Dude, I have already broken this down on the show, but we'll do it again. Paddy Pimblett, bro, this is an easy match for him. Easy.
What?
Justin Gaethje stands no chance in this match. If it's 5 rounds, fuck, he's got no chance.
How? What are you talking about?
So,
bro, alright, go on. Tell me your points.
Okay, firstly, Paddy Pimblett has got better cardio than Justin Gaethje. We saw that in the Michael Chandler fight. I reckon Paddy Pimblett can go 5 rounds. He can grapple. Justin Gaethje has also stated that he doesn't like grappling. It slows him down. He gets tired. Paddy Pimblett's just going to grapple him, get him tired, stick to the long-range weapons, and he's going to mix the game, and it's going to be a different type of striking that Gaethje's not used to. You know, he comes in, he throws a knee, comes in, he throws a switch kick. He throws these long punches, these big hooks, and then he shoots a takedown after the hook. Paddy can mix martial arts way better than Gaethje could ever. So, and then on top of that, Gaethje does not want to go to the ground with Paddy, because if he does, Paddy's gonna use his sub game, and Paddy's sub game is so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, the difference in their jiu-jitsu levels is actually, it's basically like me rolling with a 5-year-old that has never played sports. That's like Paddy and Justin. Like, the difference is that crazy. Where I think if they're on the ground for minutes, I think more than likely Paddy will submit him. But how good is Justin's wrestling defense? We actually haven't seen it loads in his career. I'm not going to lie. Chandler kind of tries to take him down. He couldn't do it. Habib took him down. Obviously, that was easy. But that is Habib. So it's like, how, you know.
Well, bro, we got two examples. Michael Johnson. And Rafael Fiziev, the rematch. Rafael Fiziev ended up, they tripped over each other. He ended up in a reverse triangle against Rafael Fiziev, who can't grapple. And he held him there for a whole fucking round, bro. If that's Paddy Pimblett, you don't reckon he's going to put him out cold?
But I think when Justin fought Fiziev, he was shocked that he was trying to grapple. And he was fighting like, I don't care if you're going to grapple type thing. He's going to fight differently against Paddy. Because Paddy can't find it enough.
And Justin can afford to go to the ground, bro.
He can.
I don't reckon he can afford to go to the ground. It's very dangerous for Justin.
Yeah. And also, here's another point. If you watch Justin when he fought Khabib, right, he fought panicky. Like, he was literally, every strike that he threw was trying to kill Khabib because he knew that he just wanted to get him off of him because of the pressure, because he was so scared of going to the ground. He might fight similar to that against Paddy, where he's like loading up his shots. And I see your point. I do think, anyway, that Paddy the Baddy is going to win and by submission. I'm going to go for a second round rear naked choke. But I think you saying it's an easy fight and everything. Like, people forget, man. Justin Gaethje is a monster. Like, when he head kicked fucking Dustin Poirier, people kind of wrote him off a little bit, kind of forgetting about him. Bam, head kick knockout. Don't forget about Justin Gaethje, bro.
Listen, Justin Gaethje has only lost to the best of the best. And I reckon the way Paddy Pimblett's going, with how much his skill building, with how high level everything in his game is, I want to see the punching out of Paddy Pimblett. I think if he keeps long, he keeps to his jab, he keeps to straights against Justin, don't go in there to punch hook for hook with Justin Gaethje, because Gaethje has fucking leather in his hands. Bad idea, right? But if Paddy fights him how he fought Michael Chandler, Paddy's got this one in the bag.
Mate, scousers don't get knocked out. Johnny Lab, the fucking sausage. Mate, Justin Gaethje, mate, the fucking sausage. Fucking.
Hey, we were talking about this last time. You know, the UK guys, you know, they're like, he's a fucking sausage. You know, they talk like that, right? The guys from Sydney in Australia, they say banana. Brother, you're acting like a banana, bro.
Oh, bullshit. I was chatting with this one guy from Melbourne, and like every time, instead of saying really or like swear down, he was like, bullshit. And at first, first time I spoke to him, I was like, why are you saying this bullshit? It's like, you don't even know me. And like, but I really.
And mama. Have you heard mums?
That's like a UK thing.
Mum's life, bro. Mum's
mum life.
Mum's soul. Mum's soul, I'm telling the truth. Paddy Pimblett beats Justin Gaethje by submissions. And Paddy Pimblett. This is for an interim lightweight championship. Do you know that, Duval?
Oh, bro, do you even know about what's going on? Do you even know what's going on? Do you know what's going on? It's crazy stuff, bro.
It's for an interim lightweight championship. Do you like that? Like, dude, this can just be number one contender. Why does it have to be for a fucking
my boy Ilya, yeah, Ilya's my boy. He might be out for a while, bro. The situation that he's going through is a sticky situation. So it might be a while. And you know what? It might even be that he doesn't even fight for, like, the end of the year. Like, if you heard what's going on, do you know the deets? Do you know the down low on what's going on?
Duval, over under, what's more probable? That his wife lied and is extorting him for cash? Or Ilya started tweaking and punched her?
I don't want to get sued, but if I was a betting man, supposedly in this hypothetical situation, and someone had a gun to my head, and they were like, do you think Ilya ever hit her? I would say no. The story based on what I read is a bit of a mad one, you know? When a girl starts asking for money and shit, you met her in Miami, bro. You know what they say about meeting girls in Miami?
The Nelly points were right.
Maybe, you know, she's from Miami, you just tell her straight away. She's from Miami, Bali, even Thailand. Yeah, you just beat and delete, and that is it, bro.
So, Duval, interim lightweight championship, do you reckon that this should just be number one contender, or do you reckon that it should be for the interim belt?
I reckon, well, Armin, I reckon because of how long Ilya might be out for, because obviously they might have had conversations with the UFC, I'm sure, know a lot. I reckon the interim, because if he's going to be out for a while, then it should be the interim, right? Because at first, we thought he was going to be back for like the start of the year, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Armin technically should be for the belt, yeah, but Paddy made a good point. Armin Tsarukyan punched a fan, and they had to pay him. I think they had to pay the fan a lot of money so he didn't get sued. Then he supposedly missed weight and just said it was his back, right? Costing UFC a lot and everything. And then he headbutts down the hooker in the face of. So obviously the UFC are just thinking, bro, who is this guy? Who is this guy? We're not giving you a title shot. You know what I'm saying? So when Paddy said that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, fair play.
What do you think about people defending their interim title? Like, for example, if Ilya's out for a long period of time, but Paddy wants to wait for Ilya so they can do interim undisputed and fight for both, and then Paddy defends his interim belt up against Armin Tsarukyan. What do you think about people defending interim belt? Henan Barao did it, and Tom Aspinall has done it.
Oh, Henan Barao did it, did he?
Yeah, he defended the interim belt, and Tom Aspinall defended his interim belt.
Why was Henan Barao defending the interim?
Henan Barao was defending the interim belt because Dominic Cruz had the title, and then he wanted to make a faster turnaround. And I think Dom either missed the schedule.
I reckon that if the then you should be stripped, like, yeah, it should be if you've got the interim and you have to defend it. It should kind of just be for the title. And if that person's out for that long a period of time. But I don't know, that's kind of harsh to say because it depends like, if it's an injury. If it was John Jones and John was just like, nah, I don't want to fight dudes, then yeah, okay. Then you should be stripped. But if this is a case where you are a champion but you've been injured or something has happened, then it kind of makes sense. It's just unfortunate, to be honest. You know?
Johnny K. Duval Pierre, UFC 324 recap. If you don't know about the Anything Combat podcast, fucking tune in, because this is the type of shit that you get on our show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow me on Instagram, Duval Pierre MMA. Same as my YouTube. Follow my YouTube and watch me fight on Saturday, where I'm going to knock this guy unconscious.
Follow Anything Combat, follow Duval Pierre, become a combatant.
Become a combatant.